The economy in all of 2020 did indeed shrink. I'm David Brancaccio. The official figure for economic growth October to December is in today. Gross domestic product grew at an annualized rate of just 4%, much reduced from the 33% we saw in the summer, which was a bounce from the pandemic lockdown spring. Diane Swonk is back. She's the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So economic growth as measured by GDP, I mean, it went up, but not quite as much as people thought it would. It still adds up to not good.
Exactly. We saw the fourth quarter only 4% increase after more than 30% snapback in the third quarter. That's the weakest growth since millions of soldiers returned from World War II in 1946. And the slowdown we saw at the end of the year was driven by a slowdown in consumer spending. The loss at grocery stores, we know, was showing up in those long food lines as people went hungry and their saving from the CARES Act ran out.
Now, someone's going to send me a nastygram email saying that because we now have two quarters in which, in theory, GDP grew a bit, that I can't say the word recession anymore. But, you know, I guess if you look at the whole year, it's still contracted.
Well, and if you listen to Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, he made the point quite clear yesterday that we're still in the kind of employment territory that was at the worst, if not worse than, the losses we experienced during the height of the 2008-2009 recession. So this is still recession territory.
Speaking from Chicago, Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A better measure of well-being may be the count of people signing up for unemployment benefits. It was down about 7% this week, but the previous week's number was revised upward, and more people are signing up for a second time after fresh layoffs. Apple reported late yesterday sales of $111 billion last quarter. Profits also beat expectations. Some are locking in gains this morning. Stock is down 1.9%. And there's now an Apple deadline for triggering its new privacy rule that is making some outside app developers miserable. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. What is changing in the Apple world?
Well, the change is deceptively simple, David. Right now, if you use an iPhone or iPad, app developers can track your movements online. And to opt out of that, you have to dig into the operating system's settings. Well, Apple's going to reverse that. Starting this spring, each app must launch a pop-up asking users for permission first to track their online movements. That's the change.
Well, I've learned in this world that default settings are practically everything, and app developers don't like this change.
That's exactly right. They're worried that when given an explicit choice, a lot of users will opt out of being tracked, and that jeopardizes the whole ad delivery ecosystem, which relies on knowing what users are doing and what they might want to buy. So it's a big change in that respect.
Now, you say worried. How worried?
Well, here's some evidence. Mark Zuckerberg yesterday in Facebook's quarterly earnings call said he sees Apple increasingly as one of Facebook's biggest competitors, and he singled out the privacy changes. And Google is developing a workaround to sidestep Apple's pop-up permission thing altogether, even if it means losing some data about users.
Nova, thank you. We're following President Biden's move this week to buy American in federal contracts, something the Trump administration had tried, at least, Marketplace's Andy Eula reports.
Vertex is an Austin company that manufactures high-tech electronic products for a bunch of different industries.
We make parts that go into missiles. We make level sensing controls. We make parts that go into radar systems.
That's Brad Heath, the company's founder and CEO.
About 70% of our business is aerospace, defense, and government.
So lots of stuff that runs through the Department of Defense. President Biden's Made in America order makes it harder for federal agencies to buy imported goods by requiring that more of a product be made of U.S. components to be considered American. Brad Heath says that could make things more complicated for companies like his.
There's a large portion of product that has been outsourced for years where there really is no domestic source of supply anymore.
So even if he wanted to, there are some parts that go into his products that he can't find here, no matter what Washington wants.
There's a large portion of any of these bills that is feel good, but doesn't necessarily directly impact manufacturers.
This isn't the first administration to attempt to boost American manufacturing through federal contracts. Success has been fleeting, but using federal purchasing power for economic change can work, says Rachel Wellhausen at the University of Texas at Austin.
The best example is the Section 8A program, which targets minority-owned businesses.
That program became law in 1978.
And it really has had a lot of success in moving especially smaller government contracts to these small businesses.
Its stated goal is that 5% of government contracts be awarded to small, minority-owned businesses. Wellhausen says that's possible because governments can consider more than price.
Political goals are regularly part of government policy, especially when it comes to procurement.
The Made in America program will include a website to help companies make bids, and Wellhausen says small businesses are going to need plenty of guidance to make sense of the process. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.